Good morning. I'm glad to be here today, although I did have to give money to Chris so that he would take his family out of town to get this opportunity, but no, I'm kidding about that. Anyway, I just want to welcome you to this service. This is the inaugural service of Crossroads Church of Dunwoody, and I have the pleasure of delivering a sermon to you today. As we face a new era, we are starting down a path that we don't know where it's going to end, but we are going to head into the future to advance God's kingdom. I think some of you, hopefully most of you, will remember the trilogy of movies called Back to the Future. Well, in that, we see the main character was Marty. And Marty wondered about the state of his life with his family, wondered how he had gotten there. Well, you remember that Marty had an opportunity to go back into the past. He got into the time-traveling DeLorean and went back to take a look at the events and how he got where he was. Well, I would like this opportunity to take a quick look at the past and see what brought us here. In the past, Joe Spain was called to be the pastor of North Peachtree Baptist Church in 1965. A number of years later, in 1977, during a celebration they were having, he shared a vision that he had, a vision he had in 1965 when he stood out here, outside where the church is here, and around him he saw woods. He saw dirt roads. There were not buildings. There were not neighborhoods. It was pretty much in the country. Well, during that time of 1977, he relayed to the congregation what he was thinking that at that time in 1965. And this is what Brother Joe Spain said. That day, when God put a dream in my soul, I knew. When I tell you, that was what I saw on this corner here. Some there would be thinking I was just saw buildings. I did see buildings, but I saw much more. I saw people who loved God's word and were happy in the Lord. People coming to the sanctuary, anticipating things to happen that only the Holy Spirit could do for us. People who loved God and were surrounded with a band of love that would not allow any force of evil to separate them. People reaching big out into the community that was then unborn and sharing with them the gospel of Christ. I saw a church that was active like a beehive, where all were doing their share and adding to the strength of its fellowship. You see, my dream was not buildings, but people who loved God and were serving Him. Now, these are Brother Spain's words, and Brother, I added in the no, grow, and go. That was mine, but the rest of it was what Brother Joe saw back in 1965. He saw people who wanted to know God. And he saw people who wanted to grow in fellowship with other Christians. And finally, he saw people who wanted to go into the community for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, back in the present, Pastor Chris has just been recently going over a series in Ephesians and reading again Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. But speaking in the truth in love, we are to grow in all aspects into Him who is head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. So, what does the future hold for us? Going back again to Back to the Future, Marty's girlfriend, Jennifer, asks about her future. And Doc Brown, you remember Doc Brown, he says, it means your future hasn't been written yet. No one's has. Your future is whatever you make it. Well, although we don't know the details of our future, we know that God does. So we put the future of Crossroads Church of Dunwoody into the hands of God to guide us in doing God's will for His glory. I want to ask us the question today, a question and a number of other questions, but first one is, why do we have a church? What's the point? Well, as Chris has been telling us, we are the body of Christ. Brother Spain says he didn't see buildings, he saw people. Well, a church is not a building. It's the people joined together under the headship of Jesus Christ. A church is stronger together than possibly what we can do on our own. The body is much more effective than us individually. We all have different gifts and talents, but apart, we cannot do what God would have us do in the kingdom. Church is more complete. Paul uses the imagery of the parts of the body. Not saying that one is any better than the other. Each has its own importance. And that all of the parts working together build the health of the church. Build the health of the body. So what is the purpose of the local church? Let me read from Ephesians and chapter 3, starting in verse 10. The church, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the rulers and the authorities of the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which He carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access through faith in Him. The corporate church provides us an environment with other Christians so that we may come together and worship God. We may grow with other Christians. We support God's church. We serve the body. And hopefully we reach out and fulfill God's plan for His kingdom. Today I'd like to take a time to look at motivations that cause us to do certain things. Now think of this. What is a motive? You know, you see it on crime shows. What was the motive? Well, the motive is something internal. That is the reason why we do things. It's in our heart, and it's difficult to see. But we are motivated to do things for various reasons. Those motives, in turn, turn into some form of action. The action is the outward sign of something that was internal. And so it's really that action shows how we have applied our internal feelings, our motives. So I have a number of questions to deal with our motives and then potentially actions associated with them. So looking at point number one, ask the question. I ask you this question now this morning. Are you thankful for God's mercy and grace? Almighty God is the creator of you and me, of the universe and everything in it. But we are separated from Him through the sin of Adam and our own sinful nature. This sin is not something that we can reconcile ourselves before. We are not righteous. It is only through God's mercy and grace that we can be saved. Ephesians 2, verse 4, starts and says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love in which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." God gives us the gift of mercy and grace, which we do not deserve. That should motivate us. And how should it motivate us? One way, in the corporate setting, is that we attend. I'm going to go through a list of ABCs. And A, attend weekly worship service. We should participate in the weekly worship service to glorify God. We come this morning worshiping God through songs of praise, through praying, listening to God's Word, and celebrating communion. Let's look and see, how did Jesus model worshiping in the synagogues? Turning to Luke chapter 4, verse 14. "And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and news about Him spread through all of the surrounding district. And He began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. And He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as was His custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read." So, Jesus, as was His custom, weekly attended the synagogue. What were the synagogues? They were built to be a worship place on the Sabbath, where the Jews would come singing their songs of praise. They would have prayer readings. They'd read from the Scriptures. There would be some interpretative message, and there'd be a priestly blessing. Jesus went to the synagogue, thereby setting an example for us. If that was Jesus' example, can we do any less? So I say, because we love God and the grace and mercy He's given us, we should come weekly, praising His holy name, in the weekly worship service. Going on to number two, I'll ask you this question. Are you thankful for fellow Christians? Ask yourself, as a believer, are you glad you're not alone? We have all these folks here today. Well, it's important that we have fellow brothers and sisters in Christ to help us along the way. Let's take a look at what Jesus did with His disciples. In John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are My disciples, if you have love for one another." Notice that Jesus says, "This is a new command that I give to you." He doesn't say it was a suggestion. He didn't say if you feel like it. He said, "This is a command I give, that you would love one another." It's part of our witness to the unbelieving world around us. We need to be different than those around us. We are not to be of the world. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are told that the world will hate us. And they will hate us because they hated Jesus. We need to work actively, intentionally, building the bonds of fellowship with our fellow Christians. That's what should motivate us, the thankfulness for our fellow Christians. And how might we do that? Be a member of a small group. Gatherings of small groups provide environments that build relationships that we may grow together, discipling one another. In the early church, they spent a lot of time together. When we look at Acts 2, in verse 42, we see they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They were sharing meals, sharing their possessions, sharing the Word of God. Each was helping the others to grow in faith and love for God and in love for their fellow Christians. How can you truly love one another if you don't know each other? We've got to get together so that we can learn and know about each other. And that's why being a member of a small group is the way to do that. A worship service is not the venue to build close relationships. The worship service is to worship and praise God. It's the small group environments that allow us to really get to know one another and therefore be different from the world. Number three, are you thankful for God's provision, what He has given you and supplied you with? God provides for us individually, provides for our families, and provides for our church. Remember, God owns everything. We're just stewards of the things that He has given us. Matthew 6 reads, "Do not worry then, saying, 'What will I eat? What we will drink? Or what we will wear for clothing?' For the Gentiles eagerly seek all of these things. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." God provides for us, and we should be thankful for that. What is our part? Our part is C, contribute regularly to the support of the local church. God's plan includes setting aside some who would serve Him full time and therefore be supported by others, members of the church. And God provides us facilities in which we are to meet. And we have a responsibility to return, in return for this, that we respect the gifts that God has given us and bestowed upon us. In the Old Testament, God did not give the Levites a portion of the land like He did the other tribes. Remember when Joshua was handing out the lands and assigning those, the Levites did not end up with any. Because God's plan has always been that the Levites would devote themselves to serving the Lord. The other tribes, in turn, were to support the Levites. That's what God had called them to do. Did they always do that? No, they did not. We can look at the Old Testament, to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah and other exiles had been captive in Babylon and had been given permission to return back to Jerusalem. Nehemiah's mission was to help rebuild the city of Jerusalem and the city walls. But when he returned, he was dismayed about several things. And specifically, I want to look at Nehemiah 13. In Nehemiah 13, verse 10, it says, I also discovered that the portions of the Levites had not been given them, so that the Levites and the singers who performed the services had gone away, each into his own field. So I reprimanded the officials and said, why is the house of God forsaken? Then I gathered them together and restored them to their posts. All Judah then brought the tithe of the grain, wine, and oil into the storehouse. How about in the New Testament? Do we see any words there about support of the church and the people who bring the gospel? We can see that there is a call to support full-time preachers. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, it says, do you not know that those who perform sacred services eat the food of the temple, and those who attend regularly to the altar have their share from the altar? So also the Lord directed those who proclaim the gospel to get their living from the gospel. We are called to contribute regularly to the support of the church so that the ministers on staff can devote their time to preaching and teaching of the gospel. Number four, are you thankful for God's blessings? We have received many blessings from the Lord. One of those blessings are the children that He puts into our lives. Some of us have children. Some of us here have grandchildren and even great-grandchildren. These are truly blessings that only the Lord can provide. In Genesis 1, familiar passage, God blessed them and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth. He has blessed our families with children. We also have plenty of young children, toddlers and babies over in the nursery. And God has provided us a place here at Crossroads Church in which to meet. But with these blessings comes responsibilities. So D, I say you should do a recurring service or a chore that's focused on the internal aspects of the church. All of us are expected to use our gifts to support God's plan. And there are many areas where you can serve the internal needs of the church. And we all should be doing our part. And some of these jobs come with a level of recognition for the endeavors that we put in. However, there are many jobs that garner no special recognition. And each of us should be willing to perform jobs that might be what we would might say are beneath our calling. For example, like watching in the nursery, perhaps cleaning this sanctuary. There's no special glory in that, but with the responsibility of the church comes responsibilities. Here's a story about a chore that was done and the apostles did not truly understand. Obviously, there's more to the story than the simple act that we see. There's another level. But I want to take a look at what the apostles saw when Jesus was doing a menial task and as he approached Peter. And I want us to really consider the humility that the King of Kings demonstrated in this act. He did this before sinful men. It's hard to imagine. But in John 13, in verse 12, "So when he had washed their feet," Jesus had just finished washing the feet of the disciples, which is a common custom, but typically done by the lowest of the servant staff. And here's the King of Kings. He had just washed their feet. "So when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and reclined at the table again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I give you an example that you should always do as I did it for you.'" I mean, I'm in awe that the humble spirit of Jesus would go put his pride aside and wash their feet. So, is there any job in the church that you consider below you? If Jesus did the lowliest of tasks, then there's nothing that we could possibly do that would be beneath us. The final point I want to make, and perhaps most importantly, are you thankful for Jesus Christ? I started by asking you if you are thankful for God's mercy and grace. And that's something our sinful nature cannot fix, the sin that we've created. But instead, God had to send His Son Jesus to do something that we could not do for ourselves. Hebrews 9, verse 24. "For Christ did not enter a holy place made with hands, a mere copy of the true one, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor was it that he would offer himself often, as the high priest enters the holy place year by year with blood that is not his own. Otherwise, he would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment, so Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time for salvation, without reference to sin, to those who eagerly await him." Jesus appears before God for us, a sacrifice for our sins. He provides a salvation and righteousness that we do not deserve. So what would Jesus have us do? He would ask us to engage the community by serving in community needs in some form of an external service. We should reach out to the community by looking at the needs around us, such as we see at the Atlanta Pregnancy Center or the food pantry or on different mission trips. Reaching the community provides a base on which we can build relationships with those we are being served and being able to provide a spiritual truth of God's Word. What did Jesus say about saving those around us, that is, their physical and spiritual needs? In Matthew 25, in verse 34. "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. We can provide for physical needs of those around us and have an opportunity to build relationships where we can attest to the saving power and grace of God and what God wishes for His children. And the redemption that is afforded us through the blood of Jesus Christ can be made available to all those who would believe. So we are called to reach out into the community and engage the community by serving in some capacity. All of this was to say, we as a corporate body have responsibilities and expectations put upon us by God and by Jesus Christ. We're not to live in our own little silos, live in our own homes, watch an evangelist preacher on TV. We're called to be together, to worship and glorify God together by attending His worship service. We're called to build relationships and encourage one another by being part of a small group. Small groups, Sunday morning, Sunday school, growth groups during the week. But the importance is that every member should be part of a group to build those relationships. We should contribute regularly to our church to support the men of our in the staff that we have currently and will in the future, and to support this church. We should be willing to do a chore that would help in serving this church in menial ways and important ways also, but that we should all be called to help and serve the body. And we should be willing to go out, reach out into the community, engage in a community service so that we can bring the gospel into the community. Now, as a church, I'll ask, as a group, are we doing this currently? I think the answer is probably no. I'm sure we're doing parts, but I'm sure each of us individually has some areas in which we should step up. Even though we may not be doing it, should we strive toward doing all of these things? I believe God's answer is yes. So I would ask for you to reflect on this as we begin this new era, Crossroads Church of Dunwoody, that we do not know what the future will bring. We see that God has already been faithful in fulfilling a vision of Brother Joe Spain of the past in 1965, bringing us to this point going forward. And I would ask that you all prayerfully consider your part in the body. As Chris has been preaching on the last 4 weeks, we are a body of members meant to worship and glorify God and serve the kingdom.